Well, it's good to be with you this morning. I'm Jake, one of the pastors on the team here. North Campus, you guys excited to be here? All right, let's get into it. 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 John 4. If you have your Bible, you can head there. As you're doing that, imagine with me that you're at a wedding. You're sitting there waiting for things to get started, and then you know, you see the groom and the pastor walk up to the front, and a hush comes over the crowd. Everybody looks back, and the music plays, and you stand, and you see the bride enter, and she's beautiful, radiant, smiling, so, so beautiful. Her dad is walking her down the aisle. He wears a quiet grin. His eyes are already shining because he's already starting to cry, and makes it up to the front, hands off his daughter to this man who is to be her husband. And then you're seated. You listen to the pastor talk about love and commitment. And then finally you get to the good part. These two kids, they seem like to you, start to make their vows. And they promise everything. They hold nothing back. I mean, so sure are they about their love that they go all in their vows. They say, you know, sickness and in health, richer or poorer, till death do us part. I'll keep myself only unto you. I mean, and it's genuine. They really believe in their love for one another. You're caught up in the moment. And then the preacher gets to the part that everybody loves. You may now kiss the bride. The music plays, everyone stands, the happy couple leaves with their friends the way they came in, like a parade. And in the lull, after they leave the room, you think, they don't know. They don't know. How could they? They don't know what love is. They don't know how hard it is, how difficult it is to keep the promises and vows they just made. They don't know. Then you look at your husband or your wife sitting next to you and you smile. You say, I didn't know either. Thank God. I didn't know either. If you've been married longer than 2 weeks, you know that this kind of love is difficult, right? That these promises and these vows are actually very difficult to follow through on. In fact, I'd say they're pretty much impossible. It's pretty much impossible to do the things we promise we're going to do on our wedding day, at least completely. Today, we're in a series of messages on the gifts of the Spirit, and I want to talk to you about the basis, the motive, the foundation of the gifts of the Spirit. I want to talk to you about love. Love is the motive, should be the motive for the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13 is a very famous passage of Scripture. You've read it before. You've heard it before. It has within it the most quoted Scripture when it comes to wedding ceremonies. The problem is, 1 Corinthians 13 has nothing to do with weddings or marriages. It's all about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, all about the gifts of the Spirit. So in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul's just listed out the gifts of the Spirit and said, we are one body with many parts. We each have a part to play in carrying out the mission of God on earth. And then he says this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. He says, if I speak in tongues, the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So he's already listed the gifts of the Spirit, and here he lists a few of them again, but he's not just talking about the gift, he's talking about the motive behind using the gift. You see, in Corinth, the church at Corinth, they were having trouble with exercising the gifts of the Spirit with the wrong motives in order to get status or be looked at as more spiritual or get more attention or whatever. They had this problem in Corinth. I'm guessing we probably have the same problem in Abilene. Just guessing. So he says, if you have the gift, but your motive isn't love, it's what? It's nothing, right? A spiritual gift without love is worthless because motive matters to God. And it mentions speaking in tongues and prophecy and generosity, but really it's all the gifts of the Spirit. If you teach really well and everybody loves to hear you teaching and you get a lot of attention for it, but you do it for your own ego instead of for love, it's worthless. If you have this amazing ability to sing and lead people in worship, but you sing so that you can get the attention or to be heard by men and women instead of leading people in worship to be heard by God, worthless. If you have this awesome administrative ability, like you're this great leader, but you use that gifting just to make yourself money and not to love other people, it's worthless. Spiritual gifts without love are worthless, it says. Healing without love is worthless. Evangelism without love, standing on a street corner and yelling at people to turn or burn, evangelism without love is worthless. Listen, serving, any kind of serving, inside or outside of the church, without love is worthless. Doesn't matter the outcome, because the motive is what matters. It doesn't matter what I think I'm doing for God or how many times I come to church or how many, you know, scriptures I have memorized or what a spiritual person I am. None of that matters. If I'm missing it, if I'm not loving people, it doesn't matter. If I have this us versus them mentality when I leave this place and I look at lost, hurting, you know, deceived, discouraged people as an enemy to fight rather than a people to love, then I'm missing it. I'm absolutely missing it. So look at the next verse in 1 Corinthians 13. You've heard this before. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Then it goes on to say that love never ends. We'll cover the next few verses next week, so skip down to verse 13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So this is talking about the love of God towards us. Faith, hope, and love. You want all three, right? Faith, hope, and love. But when your faith is faltering, you reach out and grab hold of the love of God. And when your hope is being hindered, you reach out and you grab hold of the love of God. I mean, you can't have faith and hope without love. The love of God is this constant thing. It sustains us, gives feet to our faith, hands to our hope. In fact, if you haven't put your hope in Christ or your faith in Jesus, it doesn't affect God's love for you, right? That's constant no matter what. That's why the greatest of these is love. So Paul just said that spiritual gifts without love are worthless, and now he's defining love for us. He's going, okay, love is the motive, but if you don't know what love is, let me just kind of tell you what it is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. I mean, this is the wedding verse, right? You've heard this before. It's beautiful, and two people, often so young, stand before a congregation of their family and friends, much like today, and they make these huge promises to each other, and they vow to be together forever, and they vow to love like this, to stay, to be selfless, to endure until death do us part. They make this promise. Here's the problem. This isn't about weddings, and it isn't really about marriage. And it's not even really about our love for one another in 1 Corinthians 13. This is talking about God's love for you, for me, The confusing part is that I use the same word, right? I say to my family, I love you and I'll always love you. And I use that same word, but it's a different type of love because my form of love doesn't measure up to 1 Corinthians 13. Like my love is often impatient and unkind. My love does envy and boast. My love at times is arrogant and rude. It insists on its own way. My love sometimes is irritable, resentful, rejoicing in what it shouldn't rejoice in. My love bears some things, hopes some things, believes some things, endures some things. 1 Corinthians 13 says, this love never ends. My love absolutely has an end. Not just when I die, but I get to the end of my love often when I feel like I've given too much. Not because I'm so good and I've done so much, but because I want to keep what I have for myself. I mean, we choose to be served instead of to serve. We get to the end of our love often. So on our wedding day, when this passage is often read, we stand up and make a promise that we can't keep. When I say I'll love someone forever, a spouse, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a kid, a mom or a dad, I'm making a promise I can't possibly keep, at least not in the way that 1 Corinthians 13 defines love. I mean, even in the best cases, this is seasonal, momentary, right? I mean, momentary, up and down, circumstantial, conditional love. That's best case scenario for you and me, isn't it? And when you bring this into the topic of spiritual gifts where it belongs, think about it. It didn't say that love bears most things or some things. It said it bears all things. Not I'll serve as long as it's convenient and as long as they're nice to me and as long as they give me what I want, I'll serve them. No, I'll serve them all the time. I mean, in kids' ministry where chaos reigns supreme and children rule the world. Just kidding. But in kids' ministry, love isn't patient just on its best day. Love is patient every day. Love doesn't say, I can endure most things. I can endure a lot, but if you pass this line, I'm not going to be able to endure that. If you cross this line, then I'm not going to be able to minister to you, love you, counsel you, shepherd you, lead you, encourage you. Don't pass this line. I wouldn't be able to endure that. No. Love endures all things. I mean, we're not even close, are we? I know I'm not. Like, I regularly opt for convenience over sacrifice. I often find myself at the end of my rope when it comes to ministering to people and serving people. I mean, have you met them before? Human beings? I mean, they are difficult to love and to serve unconditionally. The best we can hope for is conditional love in the way that we're loved by others and the way that we love others. Man, that is super encouraging, isn't it? I mean, you can see now why they don't go this direction in wedding ceremonies. Can you imagine the pastor up there just going, you can't do this. The new couple goes, I do. They vow, till death do us part. And he just laughs. Liars! You can imagine why they don't leave it there. We won't leave it there either. Let me show you what another apostle says, what he wrote about love. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the apostle Paul wrote what we just read in 1 Corinthians. He gave us this standard of love that's God's standard of love, and it just seems impossible to actually hit this standard when we're serving others and using the spiritual gifts. But let me show you what the apostle John, equally inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Don't get lost in the language there. It just said, this is how God showed us that he loves us, that he is love, that he sent his son to us. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Listen, beloved, this love we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, without which, you know, teaching and prophecy and healing and leading and all other spiritual gifts would be worthless and useless. This love, its origin is not here. I mean, the origin of love is not the human heart. So if I hear 1 Corinthians and I think, man, I really want my motive in leading and in using the spiritual gifts and being used by God to be love. I don't want it to be status. I don't want it to be self. I don't want it to be me or personal gain. If I say that, and then I dig deep into my own heart to find it. If I have this belief that everything I need is in here, in myself, that I'm a good person at my core, and I just need to dig deep and find my goodness, and then I'll be good to go. If I believe that, you know, true love begins with self-love, and so I got to learn to love myself before I can love others and using the spiritual gifts, because that's my source of love. It's in here. If I've bought into all of that, then I'm on a very long, very painful journey of self-discovery. I'm on this path towards myself that I think will yield life and love and strength, but will in fact only yield despair, disappointment, sorrow. Because the origin of love is not the human heart. It's not in here. It's not you, it's not me. Listen, there's no best version of you or me that can pull off this crazy little thing called love. In other words, I can't be love because God already is. And John said that in sending his son Jesus to be manifest or seen among us, and not just seen, but to die in our place for our sins, that's what propitiation means, that big word in the text we read, that Jesus paid the price that we owed for our sin and our inability to love. By doing this, God has proven this fact that he is, in fact, love. I mean, think about the wedding verse that's not really a wedding verse. Love is patient. Love is kind. It was the kindest act ever done, the most patient. His love is so patient for us. He waited and he sent his son to die for us. Even though we didn't ask for a savior, even though we were stuck in our sin, he still did it anyway. That's love. Love bears all things, it says. In sending Jesus, God showed us that he's willing to bear all things, even death. That's love. Love hopes all things, believes all things. God had this belief and this hope that we would be reconciled to him through Jesus. That's love. And sending Jesus to die, defeat death on the cross, God showed us that he is in fact willing to endure all things. Listen, beloved, here's what that means. It means this isn't a 50-50 kind of arrangement. This isn't God going, hey, you make it halfway, and I'll go halfway, and then your salvation will be somewhere in the middle. This isn't God going, you do your part, and I'll do my part, and then we'll be good. This isn't God going, I'll save you as long as you don't cross this line. If you cross this line, too far. I'm not going to be able to help you. No, this is God going, you can't even make it part of the way. And yet I will show you that my love for you is perfect by the fact that I will go all the way, 100%, and save you when you're stuck in your sin on the other side. I'll endure all things. So 1 Corinthians 13 says, spiritual gifts without love are worthless, but the Apostle John says love doesn't originate with us. It's outside of us, that God is love. Love comes from him. And this is shown at the cross of Jesus Christ. And that love, perfect because its object is a sinful you and me, that love from God should lead us to love others. It should lead us to have the right motive in serving others and using the gifts of the Spirit. But we're left with a question, like, how? How do I do this? How does this love stay, remain, abide in me? How does that happen? The next two verses have the answer in 1 John 4, verse 13. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us. By this, we know that we abide in him who is love, and he who is love abides in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So stick with me. Without love, the gifts of the Spirit are worthless. Service is worthless. Sacrifice is worthless. Doesn't matter the outcome. It just matters the motive. So we need love. And then John says God is love, and we can know that God is love, that he remains and stays and abides and lives in us because he's given us his Spirit. And so his presence, his power, his leading, his love lives in us. So if you're going, man, I don't know if I really have the Spirit living in me. I don't really know if I have that. Then you would want to pray and ask God to give you his Spirit and fill you with his Spirit, because that's how we know. First John said that's how we know, is because he's given us his Spirit. And we know God abides, remains, stays, lives in us because John says we testify that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Testify just means to tell, to say, to declare. And so that's where the gifts of the Spirit come in from 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. That's how this is all connected to 1 John 4. Because all of the gifts of the Spirit, every single one of the gifts of the Spirit has this purpose: to tell, to declare to the world that Jesus is the Savior of the world. At its heart, every gift is to declare that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And listen, there is no way to truthfully, powerfully, successfully declare that Jesus is the Savior of the world apart from having the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit operating in love do not just make the mission of Christ easier. They make it possible. So it's not like, take it or leave it. Like, I don't really need, it'd be nice to have the gifts of the Spirit and the Spirit empower me, empowerment, but I'm okay. I can still fulfill the calling of God on my life. I can still carry out the mission of Christ on earth. Willpower and grit, that's all I need. No. The impossible stays impossible without the Holy Spirit empowering us with his gifts. So here's how it works. God's love for us pushes us, inspires us, emboldens us, leads us to love others, to carry out the mission of Christ on earth, to seek out the Holy Spirit so that's even possible, to be equipped with the gifts of the Spirit, not to be heard or seen or to be, you know, looked at as more spiritual than anyone else, but to use those gifts in love, selflessly, humbly, and regularly. Because of love, because God first loved us and now we love others. Our love for others has to be the motive for the gifts of the Spirit, because think about this, the gifts of the Spirit aren't going to be in heaven, are they? So you may be an awesome prophet right now, but that's not going to be the way it is in heaven. You may be teaching really good right now, but that's not the way it's going to be in heaven. The gifts of the Spirit aren't going to be in heaven. Think about it. The gifts of the Spirit are to accomplish the mission of Christ on earth. So they won't be in heaven. But do you know what will be in heaven? People. So our motive has got to be people. We love people enough to do whatever it takes to rearrange our life, to carry out the mission of God on earth, to reach everyone on earth. I mean, we love them enough to be different, to speak up, to step out in faith and ask God for the gifts of the Spirit to be common among us. Let me end with just one last thought. And that doesn't really mean that I'm ending. It's something they teach you in seminary, just to say that. In closing, as I close, in conclusion, one more thing. It means nothing, all right? It means nothing. But one more thought. As I was praying about today, I was preparing for the sermon. I kept coming back to this, and I couldn't shake it. And so, man, I so want us to pursue love in the Spirit. I so want us to pursue love in the Spirit. But I think for a lot of us, it's like we don't really see the need. It's like, well, I'm good. I don't really need to go after the Spirit like you're talking about. I don't really need it. And I think it's because, as I prayed, I think it's because we just haven't experienced it. We just don't know what we're missing. And so I remember a conversation with one of my kids years ago. I don't remember which one it was because I have 1,000 kids. But I remember this conversation. They were little, and my wife Erin and I were going out of town for a couple days, and they were going to stay with Nana and Papa. And this kid, whichever one it was like not having it. They weren't excited about that, and they were crying, and they were just really didn't want Mommy and Daddy to leave. You know, maybe it was the first time we weren't going to be there. I don't know. But they weren't having it. And I remember I tried to like start to kind of sell this whole thing, you know, to them. Like, hey, it's going to be better. Like, it's better when Mom and Dad leave and you go to Nana and Papa's house. Like, you don't get a lot of candy here at my house, but at Nana and Papa's, you get to like bathe in Skittles and chocolate. It's glorious. Right? You don't get to watch a lot of movies here, but at Nana and Papa's, the TV's on 24/7, baby. I mean, it's going to be awesome. No rules, no consequences. It's a party all the time. I was really trying to sell it. You know, maybe you can relate if you've done this with your kids. I was really trying to sell it. And whichever kid it was, they were like, nah, they just weren't having it. And they were crying. And they just couldn't imagine that it would be better apart from Dad and Mom. They just love Mom and Dad. They want Mom and Dad to be with them all the time. And they couldn't imagine that it would be better. And so they were crying. And we left anyways, you know. Because we're good parents. And then when we got back, they were like true believers, all right? We got back and they were like, it was awesome. And I was like, I told you. And then like we left, you know, we're going to leave for one night, you know, a couple months later. And my kid was like, one night? How about a whole week? You guys get out of town. I'm going to Nana and Papa's. This is awesome. They just couldn't believe it, you know, because they hadn't experienced it. Couldn't believe that it was better that Mom and Dad went away. Now they're totally fine with Mom and Dad being gone. All my kids are. Because it's better, but they just couldn't believe. I need Mommy and Daddy. How could it be better with Mommy and Daddy gone? They just hadn't experienced it. As I was praying, the Lord told me that it's like that as a follower of Jesus. That Jesus says some things that are really hard to believe until you experience them. Like there was this one thing he said that to this day is hard for me to understand. It's in John chapter 16. These are some of the last words of Jesus, and he's about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas has already betrayed him, and he's telling the disciples, he's going, hey, I'm going to go to the Father, and it's going to be hard. You're going to be sad. You're going to be filled with sorrow, which makes sense, right? Because, like, we would be sad if Jesus was leaving, too. We'd be like, no, Jesus, stay, right? We would want Jesus to stay with us. I mean, even now, how awesome would it be if Jesus was here in bodily form? I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? If he was just appearing and reappearing and preaching and healing and casting out demons, and then, poof, he gives us 5,000 fish sandwiches. That'd be great. Or, bam, he turns this case of water into a case of wine. That wasn't funny? Okay. But look at verse 7. We would want him to stay, right? That would be ideal. But look at verse 7 in John 16. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away." What? How could it be better that you go away? How could it ever be to our advantage that Jesus goes away? What's better than having Jesus here with us in bodily form? Look at it. He goes, "It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus, Son of God, miracle worker, most compassionate, truth teller that's ever lived, perfect, loving, just said that it is better that he goes away so that the Holy Spirit can come. The Holy Spirit coming was better for me than Jesus staying. Can you believe that? I mean, I got to be honest. I'm like, my natural reaction is like, no. There's no way. What could be better than Jesus staying? There's no way that that's better. How amazing the Spirit must be. I mean, how awesome his indwelling must be. How incredible his giftings must be for Jesus to say, "It's better that I go so that I can send him to you." If that seems impossible, maybe it's because we just haven't experienced everything there is to experience in the Spirit. We just don't know. Like a kid who hadn't experienced how awesome it is at Nana and Papa's compared to the lame stuff we do at our house every day. They just don't know. Maybe it's because we just don't know. And follow me here. Believing this and running after the Spirit, it starts with a revelation, a deep revelation of God's love for us. And as we pursue his love, we begin to love people like we've never loved them before. People we know and people we haven't met yet. People here and people on the other side of the world. And as we begin to love them at a deeper level, we want to do everything we can to help them. And so we naturally look around ourselves and in ourselves to try to find something to help them, and we'll find that we're lacking. And that will drive us to run to the Spirit and beg him for help, to ask him for his power, his presence, and his gifts, to tell everybody and anybody that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Listen, it all starts with a revelation of God's love for us in Jesus. That's what leads us to pursue the Spirit and to live on mission. That's it. Pursue love. Listen, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That love, it's Jesus. It's God's gift to you in Jesus. You can try your whole life to love, but without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit living in you, you'll be nothing. It won't work. You can try your whole life to use the gifts of the Spirit in love, but without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit living in you, you'll just be a clanging cymbal at a middle school band concert. I mean, you can make promises and vows. You can promise the moon to love and to sacrifice. But without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit living in you. It's nothing. You won't measure up. You can promise to serve. Serve the least of these. Serve those in church. Serve with the gifts of the Spirit in love. But without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit living in you, those promises are empty and foolish. Here's how I think we should end today, for real this time. Put your notes away if you need to. Get all the paper rustling out of your system so that we can focus. I know you want to have your go bag ready. I get it. I'm the same way. The worship team's going to come back up. I'm going to invite the prayer team up. What we've talked about today, it's not only life-changing, but it's world-changing. I mean, the gifts of the Spirit used in love. I mean, it's world-changing, pursued selflessly, used in love. It's absolutely world-changing. So I don't want us to just leave here with some knowledge. I want us to actually take a moment and ask the Spirit to do something. And so I'd like us to end a little bit differently. I'm not going to have us close our eyes and bow our heads and raise our hands this time. So let's just stand together. As we move into our prayer time, and we're going to sing like three songs. We're not done with worship. Don't leave. We're going to sing like three songs, but I don't want you to miss your chance to respond. During these songs, I want you to just come up as the Lord leads and get prayer. First service, we had altars just full for basically the whole three songs. And after that, I know there are people that God wants to minister to in this room. And so if you aren't sure you're filled with the Spirit, like maybe you think, man, I used to be kind of filled with the Spirit like you're talking about, Jake, but I've just felt so empty lately. Or maybe you're saying, I've never experienced the power and presence of the Spirit like you're talking about. If that's you and you want that, man, just come up to the front. Get prayer. You can start walking up right now. Be hungry for it. And if you're saying you want the gifts of the Spirit in greater measure, I want to be used by God in greater measure, I want you to come up and get prayer and ask God to give you the gifts of the Spirit. So come on up. We're going to pray for you. And then finally, if you're desiring a greater revelation of God's love towards you in Jesus, maybe you've never really accepted his love. You know, the very next verse after what we read in 1 Corinthians 13 is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, and it says, desire the spiritual gifts, but pursue love. Want the gifts, but run after love. And so if you're going, I just want a greater revelation of God's love for me, and I want it to overflow and flow through me and out of me into everyone else. I want love to reign supreme in my heart. If that's you, the Holy Spirit, if any of that is you, the Holy Spirit's already working on your heart. Don't wait till song three. Don't wait till the dismissal. Come up and get prayer as we sing these songs. I believe God's going to do something in your life if you'll have the faith to come up and ask for prayer. Lord, we just ask that you would embolden us, strengthen us. God, that anything that's in the way, any barrier or obstacle in the way, any doubt or lie, we speak to it in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to take it away. We command it to leave in Jesus' name. We pray that the altar is filled with people hungry for your presence and your Spirit and your gifts, and that you would be faithful, that you would be faithful to provide those. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come up and get prayer.